The seventh parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which starts with a very fundamental idea when it comes to Shemitah, and that's why the Mishnah starts out with the language Klal Gadol Amru B'Shvi'is. There's a major principle as it applies to Shemitah. And what is that? What we're going to talk about in this Mishnah is to what types of produce, vegetables, grains, or plants do the requirements of Shemitah apply to? Which of them have Kedusha Shvi'is? And on a high level, if something has Kedusha Shvi'is, we're not permitted to waste it. We can't throw it out. We also cannot do business with it. For example, for the most part, it cannot be sold. There are exceptions to the rule, but it cannot be sold. And in addition, if it is sold in a permitted way, not only does the produce itself maintain the Kedusha of Shvi'is, but also the money that we receive has the status of Kedusha of Shvi'is and has the limitations that the produce itself has, as we'll see in a little bit. Another thing that typically happens, not always, but typically, if something has Kedusha Shvi'is, we are required to do biur on that item. We've talked about biur on a number of occasions, that when that specific species of fruit, vegetable, for example, is no longer available in the fields for wild animals, we are required to take it out of our houses, make it hefker, to make it ownerless at that point. So that is the process of biur. So we will see now what Klal Gadol Amru B'Shvi'is, to what types of produce do these requirements apply to. So we're going to list three different categories right now, and in the latter part of the Mishnah, we will define and give examples of each of them. So Kol Shehu Ma'achal Adam, any item that is eaten by people, and as we will see, even if it is items that are borderline edible, people ideally would not eat it, still the requirements of Shemitah are going to apply. So that's category number one. Category number two, Umachal Behema, anything that is eaten by animals, even if it's borderline, it's not the most scrumptious, ideal food for an animal, but it can be eaten by an animal, the Shemitah requirements are going to apply. And number three, Umimin Hatsovim, a plant from which we can draw dyes, D-Y-E-S, colorations. That also, in that category, the Shemitah requirements are going to apply. So we have three different categories, edible by people, edible by animals, or used as dyes. But in each of those circumstances, what we're talking about in our Mishnah here, the Eino Miskayim Ba'aretz, as long as it was in category 1, 2, or 3, and another requirement for each of those is that if it is left on the vine, if it's left on the plant, if it's left in the field attached, it will eventually rot. It will go bad, even if it's still connected to the ground. How long does it have to stay there? What's our test? This is a machlokas in the Meforshim and the Poskim, but we use the default. There's one opinion that if you leave it there until the end of the eighth year, in other words, the Shemitah year passes and the first year after the Shemitah year and comes the end, and that item that's left attached to the ground won't make it, it's going to rot. That is something that is Eino Miskayim Ba'aretz. In that situation, if we're talking about either of those three categories, and in that category, it's something that Eino Miskayim Ba'aretz, it will rot eventually. These are the requirements. Yesh lo shvi'is. Uledama shvi'is. It has hekdesh, it has kedusha shvi'is, and in addition, not only does it have shvi'is, but also the money, if we sold the produce itself, the money, if we sold it in a permitted way, the money itself also would have the status of shvi'is. And another qualification, another requirement is, when we fit these requirements of 1, 2, or 3, that it's edible by people, edible by an animal, or if it's used to make dyes, and in addition, either of those three, if it's in one of those three categories, it will rot eventually. The other thing that applies is yesh lo biur. Eventually, we're going to have to do the process of biur, as we described it before. And in addition, uledama biur. And if we sold it in a permitted way, we are also going to eventually have to, with the money, when the underlying produce that was sold, if it's no longer available in the fields to wild animals, we're not only going to have to do biur on the produce itself, take it out of our house and be mafkir and make it ownerless, but we're also going to have to do that to the money that was used, that was when we sold the underlying produce, we got money for it, we're going to have to take that money out as well and do that process of biur. Now we're going to define those three categories of foods, produce, plants that we said is applicable in our Mishnah. So number one, ve'ezeh, when it comes to talking about something that is ma'achal adam, even if it's borderline edible by people, but what are examples? Ze ale haluf hashoteh. This is the leaf that grows on a certain type of plant that's called a luf, and it's grown in the wild. It has a very bitter taste, so ideally people don't want to eat it, but they could, so that's considered edible. Shemitah rules apply. Ve'ale hadandana, the mint leaf. Ve'haulshin, endives. Ve'akreshin, leeks. Ve'aregila, that's a type of herb. Ve'netzachala, that's a type of plant that has white flowers. All of those, even though they're just borderline edible by people, but because they can be eaten by people, the requirements of Shemitah and Beur apply to them. Next category that we said, Uma'achal Behema, something that is edible to animals. So what are examples that are even borderline edible by animals? Hachochin, Vadardarim, these are thorns and thistles, stuff that it's soft, soft thorns and thistles. Thorn bush is an example, but it's a soft one, so animals could eat it. A camel could eat it, for example. So accordingly, the Shemitah requirements apply, and Beur applies as well. And category number three, Meminat Sovim, the plants, roots, for example, of plants that we use to make colors, Sfichei Isatis. An example would be growths of a certain plant called the Isatis that they would use to make blue dye, Vikotza, type of plant that they would use, to, I believe, to make red dye. So in all these categories, these three categories, as long as it is a davar she'eno miskayem, meaning it would rot if it's left attached to the ground, eventually, these are the requirements. It's a repeat from what we saw. Yesh lam shvis uledemayim shmis. These shvis requirements that applies. They have kedusha shvis, and also to the money that is sold. That when we sell, when with money received when we sell these produce, the Shemitah requirements also. That money has kedusha shvis, and also yesh lahem biur uledemayim biur. Also, these underlying plants that we listed, they have a requirement of biur, and the money received when they are sold also has a requirement of biur. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of the prior Mishnah with one minor but significant change. We are continuing to talk about those three categories that we had in the prior Mishnah. Vod Klal, Acher Amru, another principle when it comes to Shemitah Kol. And we're going to take out the next word, She'eno, many Meforshim don't gores it. So we're just going to read it as Kol Ma'achal, or Kol Shuhu Ma'achal Adam, Uma'achal Behema, Umimin Hatzovim. If something is edible to people, or edible to animals, or if it's something, a plant from which we make dyes, D-Y-E-S, so that's the same categories that we saw in the prior Mishnah. However, if it falls into one of those three categories, and Umiskayim Ba'aretz, it is the type of plant or produce that will not rot when it continues to be attached to the ground. So it's going to continue to be there. It's not going to rot. It's going to stay healthy. Accordingly, somewhat different set of rules applies. It is going to have Kedusha Shvis, as we'll see shortly, but the requirements of Beor, taking it out of our house at a certain point when it's no longer available in the field, will not apply because, as we said, it's miskayim ba'aretz. This is the type of plant or produce that can stay on the vine, on the plant, and continue and not go bad. So it will be there in theory in the future. So the Mishnah says when we have one of these three categories and it's something that is miskayim ba'aretz, yesh lo shvish uledama shvish, it has Kedusha Shvis, and the money, when it's sold in a permitted way, also will have Kedusha Shvis. However, how it differs from the prior Mishnah is Ein Lo Biur, the Ein Ledama Biur. There's no requirement to do the Biur process for either the plant or the produce itself, or to the money that is received when the plant or produce is sold. Now, just like the structure we had in the prior Mishnah, we're going to give examples of at least two of the three categories here. Ezechu, to give examples of something that is edible to a person, albeit not very edible. And it's something, an example of not only edible to a person, but it is something that is miskayim bars that will not go bad if it's left attached in the field. So the Mishnah gives a number of examples. Ikar halufa hashota, the root of the luf plant that grows wild, that is borderline edible, and it is miskayim bars, it will not go bad, it will stay in the field and last. Ikar hadandana, the ikar is the root of the mint plant. V'ha'ar kabanim, that's a type of grass. V'achal bitzim, that is the root of the plant that we saw in the prior Mishnah, the Netz HaChalav, it's a plant that has white flowers. V'abuchria is another example of a plant that will last that is borderline edible by people, umiskayim ba'aretz. Next, we're going to give examples, umimin hatsovim, examples of plants that are used for dyeing, and they are miskayim ba'aretz. They don't go bad, they don't rot at a certain point. Hapua, varichba, these are two different types of plants that we make dyes from the roots at least. Yeshlem, here we're going to see the halachas that apply now in our Mishnah. Yeshlehem shvi'is, uledmeim shvi'is, this is a repeat of what we saw just before. The halachas of Shemitah apply to these plants. They have Kedusha shvi'is, and their money, that when we sell them, and the money received as Kedusha shvi'is. However, how it differs from the prior Mishnah, ein lehem bir, velo ledmeim bir, they do not have the halachas of bir, and also their money does not have the halachas of bir. Rabbi Meir disagrees on one point. In fact, the last point, demeim, when we have the money that we receive from selling any of these items in our Mishnah, the items that are miskayim bars that don't go bad if they stay attached. So demeim, when we receive that money, misparim ad Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Meir, we do have to do biur on that money before Rosh Hashanah of the next year, meaning during the Shemitah year, before the end of the Shemitah year, we have to take that money out of our houses, and we have to mafgir, we have to go through the biur process. And Rabbi Meir says, why are we stricter when it comes to the money received from the produce, even stricter than the produce itself, from the item, from the plant, from the produce? We don't have to do biur, but the money we do. Rabbi Meir is concerned that because after Shemitah, it's easy to forget that money has Kedusha Shviz in it. And accordingly, to not have that problem, we have to do biur before the end of Shemitah. Because when it comes to the produce itself that fits into this mitzvah, it's going to be difficult to forget that it has Kedusha Shviz. We'll remember that it has Kedusha Shviz, but the money, it's easy to forget. Accordingly, he requires biur on the money. But Chazal, Chachamim disagree. Amrulo lahenein biur. If the plants we know don't have a requirement of biur, kal v'chomer ledmeim, certainly we're not going to ever require a biur on the money received when we sell the plants. Mishnah Gimel builds on the concepts that we've seen in the first two Mishnayos of this perek, that if an item is ma'achal adam, even if it's borderline edible by a person, or category number two, if it is ma'achal behema, even if it's borderline edible by an animal, or number three, it is a plant that is used for the tzovim, it's used for dyes, then the Shemitah restrictions apply. So Mishnah Gimel continues, Klipe Rimon Vanetzalo. If we have the peel of a pomegranate, or the nates is the crown-like item that sticks out of the peel, those are also going to have Kedusha Shviz because they can be used as category number three, dyes, D-Y-E-S, to color things. And in addition, Klipe Agozim, the husk that is on top of a shell that is around a walnut can also be used as a dye. And in addition, vehagal inim are the kits that are in various types of fruits, as long as they fit also into one of these three categories. If it's edible by a person or edible by an animal, or it can be used to dye other things, then yeshlehem, in all those situations, yeshlehem shviz, uledmeim shviz, both the item itself has shviz, and if they're sold in a permitted way, the money will also have kedusha shviz. Now we're going to talk about doing business during shviz, doing business with Shemitah produce. On a high level, mida oraisa, there's a prohibition to go buy produce in order to resell it. So to purchase it, for example, from a farmer and to resell it, that is an iser d'oraisa. The Shemitah produce is le'ochla, to eat it, but not to sell it, to not do business in it. In addition, there is a derabbanan prohibition of picking it and then selling it, not buying it. Buying and selling is a deraisa. Picking it yourself and selling it, and we'll qualify this in a little bit, is a derabbanan. Mishnah is going to start talking about other prohibited uses that is also considered doing business, which is hasaba, that is somebody who dyes things, a dyer, D-Y-E-R. So ve'ala atzmo, he is permitted to use Shemitah plants in order to dye things for his own personal use, but v'lo yitzba lebischar, he cannot dye things on a commercial basis. In other words, he can't dye fabrics, for example, in order to sell it, because that is doing business in Shemitah produce. As long as the dyes were received by Shemitah produce, Shemitah plants during the Shemitah year, and the general concept here is saying osim schora bepeish perashvis. We're not permitted to do business, to engage in commerce with the fruits of the Shvius year. And now, as long as we mention not doing commerce, we're going to expand that concept. Other things we cannot do commerce with, we can't buy and sell and do business with. And this is not only during the Shemitah year, this is at all times. V'lo b'bechoros, if we have a bechor, which is a firstborn male, be it of a goat, a sheep, or cattle, that has to be given to the Kohen. And whether it does not have a mum or it has a mum, it has to be given to the Kohen. So that is something we are not allowed to do business in. The concern here is that if we can do business, we can hold it to sell it, or the Kohen may try to sell it to somebody else, then they may come, and we're talking now, even if it's Tameh, even if it has a blemish, so it can't be bought as a korban anymore, as if it was a bechor that is tar, that doesn't have any mum in it, nonetheless, it has to be only shechted by the Kohen, and thereafter he can give meat to who he wants, but we can't hold on to it alive. The concern here is that we may come to shear it, we may come to work that animal, which is prohibited even for a bechor that has a mum. So we cannot do business in bechor, a bechor that has that whether it has a mum or not, we can't do business with it. V'lo b'trumas, we are also not permitted to take truma produce, which is given to the Kohen, and do business in it. The concern here, as the Bartanur points out, is we may come to a takala, we may come to eat it, a non-coin may come to eat it, so just don't do business with a bechor or a truma, do the right thing with it. And in addition, we have a group of four things together here that are prohibited to be eaten on a d'oraisa level, and accordingly, we are also prohibited to engage in commerce with them. So it continues, v'lo benevelos, and nevelos is an animal that did not have a proper shechita. So it's a dead animal. For example, a cow died, it's a nevela, did not have a proper shechita, so we cannot do business with it because it's forbidden me d'oraisa to eat it. Or v'lo betrefas, a trefa is an animal that even if it had a proper shechita, but it has a defect in it, a fundamental defect in it, it would have died soon thereafter. That is a trefa. V'lo b'shkatzim, shkatzim is a fairly broad category that includes seafood, for example, lobsters and frogs, and it includes non-kosher fish and non-kosher birds and various types of insects that fly, and also snakes and scorpions. There's a whole long list of what is included in the category of shkatzim. And last on the list of the four is v'lo b'ramasim. These are tiny worms, tiny little types of insects. So those all are prohibited midoraisa to eat. Accordingly, it is also midoraisa prohibited to engage in business with them. And now we're going back to the Shemitah context, v'lo yelokeach yarko sadeh umocher bashuk. As we mentioned before, there's a d'oraisa prohibition of buying Shemitah produce to resell it. There's also a prohibition on the d'rabbanon level of lo yelokeach, that's talking about don't pick yarko sadeh, the fruits of the vegetables of the field, umocher bashuk, in order to sell them in the market. That's an issur d'rabbanon. However, an exception to that, when it would be permitted, is aval hu loket ubino mocher al yado. If you do the kicking, which would be an issur d'rabbanon if you sold it, but if you do it in a different way that doesn't look like you are engaging in commerce, for example, you send your son to do the selling in the shuk, that would be permitted. So not that you can buy and resell via your son, but that if you pick it in somebody else's field, so if you sold it, that would be a d'rabbanon, you can have your son sell it, that is mutter. And in addition, another concept here, similar, is lakach le'atzmo v'hosir. Somebody went in a permitted way and was gathering produce during the Shemitah year for his own use. So lakach le'atzmo, and he had excess, he's not going to be able to finish it. So in that situation, mutter l'machron, he himself is permitted to go and sell it in the shuk, because ultimately he didn't do it for commerce purposes. He had just a little bit. He did it for his own purposes, and it just happened there was excess without his intention there. He would be permitted to sell it off by himself, not even via using his son as the salesman. Mishnah Dalet is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we said that certain activities, certain items are prohibited to do commerce from them, and in our Mishnah we're going to see certain exceptions to the rule. So the Mishnah says, Lakach Bechor, Lemishne Beno, olaregel. If somebody indeed did buy a bechor, and the Bartanura explains we're talking about somebody bought, for example, from the Kohen who was properly given a bechor, but it's a baal mum. And a baal mum, if it has a fundamental mum in it, it has a fundamental defect in it, it's mutter to purchase it, even a non-Kohen. So somebody came and bought it from a Kohen, he bought it from somebody else for the purposes of his son's wedding or for use in the Shalos Regalim, and then after he purchased it, v'lo tzarich lo, and he doesn't need it anymore, he had enough meat from elsewhere, mutar l'machro, he would be permitted to sell it, and that would not violate the prohibition of not doing commerce with a bechor. The Bartanura explains that you can resell it, but you cannot make a profit, so you have to sell it at the price that you purchased it for. What you purchased it for, $100, that's what you need to sell it for, or you can take a loss on it also, but you can't make a profit on it. And now continuing, other ways that it's permitted to sell even the nevelos and trefus, etc., that we said are prohibited. We're going to talk about specific animals that we talked about in the prior Mishnah that you cannot sell because that's doing business, commerce, intentionally. But an exception to that is tzadeh chaya ofos v'dagim. If we have somebody who makes a living from trapping animals, he was trapping chayas, wild animals, kosher animals is his target market, ofos, kosher birds, v'dagim, and fish. And while he's engaged in that proper acceptable activity, profession, shenis dam nulahem minim tameim, and it happened to be as he was trying to catch kosher animals, he happened to also catch a non-kosher animal or non-kosher animals. For example, he put a big trap down and he caught a bunch of salmon, but in it was a catfish not kosher. So what do you do with that catfish? So if you can't engage in commerce with treif animals, then you would have to throw it back, get rid of it. But the Mishnah tells us, mutarim lemachrim, in that situation where it wasn't intentional, he was engaged in his profession in a permitted way, and he just happened to unintentionally catch unkosher animals, chayas, ofas, v'dagim, then he's permitted to sell it. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he actually is more lenient. He broadens it. Rabbi Yehuda says that this exception to the rule that you cannot engage in commerce with these type of treif animals, it's not only for people who are engaged in the profession and happened to have trapped non-kosher species, but af misha nismana lo lefi darko, even somebody who's not engaged in that occupation, but he just happened to be going along the way, and he encounters a non-kosher animal, lokeach u'mocher, he's permitted to take it, he's permitted to sell it. The one carve out, says Rabbi Yehuda, is ubivach lo se umunaso bekach. As long as he's not making a profession out of it, it happened to be accidental. So according to Chachamim, here it says v'chachamim osim, Chachamim disagree. According to Chachamim, the exception only if somebody is in that profession and unintentionally catches, while he's trying to catch kosher species, he catches non-kosher species, then he can sell it. That doesn't violate the prohibition of engaging in commerce in non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda says even a normal person who is not engaged in it as a profession, if he happened to come by a treif animal, etc., it's right there for him, then he would be permitted to take it and sell it as well, as long as he doesn't make a profession from selling unkosher animals, unkosher birds, unkosher fish. Mishnah Hey deals with the status when it comes to Shemitah of certain lulavim. Now, lulavim doesn't mean our typical lulav as we take it on Sukkot with our esrog, etc., but rather it's talking about a certain type of growth, a very soft growth that comes out at the end of a branch. And the question is, does that have kedusha shvius or not? Branches do not, but how about these softer growths that grow at the end of the branch? So the Mishnah says, lulve zeradim, if we have this sprout that comes out, this growth that comes out from a zered tree, ve'acharuvim, or if it comes from a carob tree, indeed, those shoots, those little soft growths that come out, indeed do have kedusha shvius. And in fact, if we sell them, not only does the shoot itself have kedusha shvius, but also the money that we would receive also has kedusha shvius. And in addition, yesh lahem beor ledemeim beor, also when beor does apply, when those shoots are no longer available because they'll eventually fall off the trees and wither and not be available in the fields to animals who are roaming around. So the halachas of beer apply to both them and the money received when we sell those those shoots. Continuing, we're going to now distinguish between a different type of lulavei, lulavim, those shoots on the end of branches, and we're going to talk about some that do not eventually fall off. They will actually stay on the branches and harden, and accordingly, that is something that is not subject to beor, because as we've learned in the past, something that will be continue to grow and that will not become obsolete in the field, then the halachas of beor do not apply. So the lulvei ha'ela, the lulavim, those sprouts that grow on an ela tree, v'habotna, and that grow on the end of the branches of a pistachio tree, v'hatadina, and on the edges of a thorn bush, yesh lam shvis, they indeed, the halachas of shvis apply to them, uledemeim shvis, and as we said before, also the money received, does have kedusha shvis. However, they differ in that ein lahem beor v'lo ledemeim beor. They do not have the halachas of beor. The money that we receive for them do not have the halachas of beor, because these shoots at the end of these three specific trees, they indeed become part of the branches and do not fall off, and they maintain themselves and stay on the field, and they do not eventually become obsolete in the field. However, aval le'alin, however, the leaves on these three trees, even though the shoots are not subject to beor, but the leaves on those trees are subject to beor. Why? Because they will fall off from the branches. And what this is saying is those leaves will not stay on the branches to the future. They will indeed fall off, and they will reach a point that they will not be available to the animals walking around in the field. So even though the shoots on these three type of trees are not subject to beor, the leaves on these three trees are subject to beor. Mishnah Vav continues discussing the status of various plants, and here we're going to discuss specifically about plants that were used to make perfume. But the Chazon Ish tells us that in addition, they were used on occasion to flavor food, and that's why they are subject to the Shemitah limitations and have Kedusha Shvi'is. So the Mishnah says as follows, Haverid, which is a rose, roses, v'hakofer, a clove, v'haktaf, which is sap that comes out of a tree called a balsam. V'halotem is another type of tree, it's a type of pine tree. All of them, yesh lehem shvi'is, uledmeim shvi'is, various parts of it, the rose itself, the clove, the sap, etc. All of those have the kedusha of shvi'is, and also the money. When we sell those items and receive money, that money also has kedushas shvi'is, because indeed these four types of items are used in addition to making perfume in order to flavor food on occasion, even if that's a very secondary purpose, but also that makes it subject that to kedusha shvi'is. Rabbi Shimon Omer ein laktaf shvi'is. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with one of them. He says that ktaf, which is the sap that comes out of that tree, out of the balsam tree, does not have kedusha shvi'is. Why? Mipnei she'eino peri, because it's not a fruit. And what he's saying here is that just like branches, just like wood of a tree does not have kedusha shvi'is, so too when sap oozes out of a tree and oozes out of the branch of a tree, that also does not have kedusha shvi'is, because fundamentally it came from a branch and not something that was independent of the branch, like a fruit or a flower or something along that lines. Mishnah Zayin goes back to discuss a specific halacha as it relates to beor. As we've said in the past, beor means that when Shemitah produce during the Shemitah year, if a certain species is no longer available in the fields for the wild animals, we have an obligation to do beor on that specific species from our house. And what that means is taking it out of our house and being mafkir and making it hefkir. And then we saw the machlokis if we can repossess it or if we have to give it to anim. That is the chiyuv of biur. Now what we are going to discuss in our Mishnah is if we have something that is subject to the requirements of biur, but it's mixed together with something else. And just another important fact when it comes to beor, if somebody does not do beor by the time the deadline comes, that produce needs to be destroyed. It's prohibited and we need to destroy it. So beor is a deadline. Beor has to be done with that species, that specific type of produce, when its subjective beor deadline comes. And if that deadline passes and we didn't do beor, then that species has to be destroyed, and we have no other use for it. So the Mishnah discusses as follows. If we have a combination of Shemitah produce and non-Shemitah produce, and the beor deadline passes, what happens? So Mishnah Zayin, Vered, if we have Vered, which is the rose that we just saw in the prior Mishnah, and it's Chadash. Chadash in this context means it is from the seventh year, so it is subject to the Shemitah requirements. Then what we did with that rose is Shekvasho B'Shemen Yashan. We soaked it with oil that is old, literally old, but we're talking about from the sixth year. So what do you have to do? Comes the beer deadline passed. I have to destroy it, but do I have to destroy not only the rose that's soaking in that sixth year oil, or do I have to destroy the oil as well? So the Mishnah tells us, Yelaket et Haverid, you can remove the rose and you don't have to destroy the oil as well. What is this talking about? So the Bartanur says as follows, Yelaket et Haverid, Kodim Shiagiyaz Manabiur Fakol Mutar, as long as we remove that Verid, we remove that rose before the deadline of Biur, then we are all okay, everything is mutter. So that's what it's talking about right now. However, the Yashan Bechadash, if we had an old rose, here in this context, old is seventh year as well, because it's relative to Bechadash here, means it's eighth year oil. So eighth year is the year after the Shemitah cycle. So I put a Shemitah rose into eighth year oil that doesn't have Kedusha Shvi's. Here we say Chaya Bebir, it is obligated in beer. What is going on here? So the Bartanur explains, Aval Vered Shal Shviz, if I took that Vered that rose from the Shemitah year, Shekavsho B'Shemen Shal Shminis, and I went and I soaked it in oil of the eighth year, that's after the Shemitah cycle, so that is not Kedusha Shviz, Ukvar Higiyaz Man HaBeir Shal HaVered. And in this situation, not like the Reisha that we talked about, that the deadline had not reached yet, here we're talking about the deadline of Beir on that Kedusha Shviz rose has arrived, and I did not do biur chayev levar et hakol. I have to do biur to the entire thing, not only the rose, but to the oil as well, because the deadline has come. Continuing a similar scenario, charuvim, if we have seventh year carobs, so they are subject to Shemitah. Charim chadashim, they are new, talking about seventh year. Shekavshan biyayin yashan, and I have put them into old wine. So sixth year wine. So this is sounding the same as we started off this Mishnah, but the difference here is that it has a situation that this is already past the Bayer deadline. So that's a problem for the combination. In the beginning, we talked about when we had Shemitah rose that was mixed together with soaking in sixth year oil, I can simply pluck out, I can remove the rose because the deadline has not arrived yet. Now we're talking about, I have the same scenario, kind of, I have the seventh year carob, it's in the sixth year wine, but now the beer deadline has passed. And similarly, v'yishanim b'chadash, if I have seventh year carob, here in this context, we're talking about the olds, we're still referring to the Shemitah carob, because relative to Bechadash, it's an eighth year wine. So I have that combination together. If it's after the Zman HaBeir, Chayavim HaBeir, I need to do beer on the entire thing. And what's going on here? So the Mishnah is now going to give us a general principle that is applied and will explain what we just saw. Zahaklal, this is the principle. Kol Shuba no same time. If something gives a time to something else, and it's talking about a situation where we see before that they are two different types of species. For example, we talked about a rose in oil, and we talked about a carob in wine. So as long as there was the giving of tam, as long as the item from the Shemitah year put tam into the non-Shemitah item, chay of levar, when it comes to the deadline of beer, I need to do beer not only on the Shemitah produce, but also on the non-Shemitah produce, because the non-Shemitah produce has the tam of the Shemitah produce, and it is after the Zman of the Beir. And that is talking about a situation which is a mean b'she'en amina, when we have two types of species that are not the same. That is everything we've discussed in the Mishnah so far. However, when it is a situation, umin bimino, if we're talking about two types, but they are the same. For example, I have Shemitah oil and non-Shemitah oil. So one is from the sixth year, that is non-Shemitah oil. One's from the seventh year, one's from the seventh year, and one's from the eighth year. So one is Shemitah, one is not Shemitah, but it's min bimino. It's the same type of item. In that situation, we're even stricter. It is kolshu. Even if it doesn't give a tam, even if it has the smallest amount that Shemitah oil, will imbue the non-Shemitah oil and give it the status of Kedusha Shvi'is for the entire amount. Shvi'is oseres kol shu b'mina. When it is the Shemitah, when we have Shemitah produce, it prohibits when it's the same mean. When we have, for example, the oil and oil, if it's after the Be'er date, and we had even the smallest amount of Shemitah produce with non-Shemitah produce, but they're the same, then the entire thing requires Be'er. Ushelo b'mina, however, it's min shelo b'mino. It's what most of this Mishnah was talking about. There are two different types. For example, that's when we had the rose in the oil, and we had the carobs in the wine. In that situation, our standard is not kol shu, even the smallest amount, but benosin tam, only if it gives tam and the Be'er date passes by, then I have to do Be'er on the entire combination. But if it doesn't give tam, even though the Be'er date comes, then I can pluck it out. So it's only benosin tam, then I have a problem after Be'er date. If it's min b'she'eino mino, the entire thing, Be'er destruction has to happen if the deadline passed by.